I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 6th of July. The Olympic Games begin on August 5, a little less than a month from now, and there are problems, big problems, in Rio de Janeiro. The Zika virus has hit Brazil quite hard. Days ago, armed men attacked Rio's largest public hospital, successfully freeing a drug kingpin. Inflation and crime are on the rise. The Bay Area, where the sailors will be doing their Olympic event, is very, very polluted. Thousands of people live in slums, and they've been ousted from their homes, relocated, some of them hours from their schools and also from their jobs. There's a 10-mile rail line connecting the hotels of Ipanema and Copacabana, and they go to the suburb where the Olympic Park has been built. And the rail line is expected to open just 4 days before the opening ceremony, and there are questions about whether or not there will be enough time to properly test the new line. The governor of the state of Rio has declared it a state of public calamity. And so we're going to be talking about all of this. There are some athletes who, mostly because of the Zika virus, have said they would not compete. It was a whole different scene in Rio when, in 2009, they won the right to host the Olympic Games. Would it make sense? Would it have made sense some time ago to have canceled these games, or will everybody pull through at the last minute and everything will go off somewhat flawlessly? We will talk about that this hour of the program, the 2016 Summer Olympic Games, with Mike Pesca. Mike is host of the Slate Daily podcast, The Gist. He contributes reports and commentary to NPR, where he has spent much of his career, including as National Desk Correspondent. He has won Murrow Awards twice now for his radio reporting. Welcoming phone calls all hour, as we always do. The phone number is 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We'd love to read your comments there. And we're on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. Mike, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
The more I read about what's going on in Rio, the more I wonder, why didn't they cancel these games some time ago? Or is the press overinflating the problems?
Well, it would be unprecedented to cancel the games. And I think that when the games were awarded, there was a lot of hope. And Rio, the economy was doing well, the entire Brazilian economy. It was grouped together as a BRIC nation, Brazil, Russia, India, China. And we've seen Olympics in Russia. We've seen Olympics in China. Brazil thought it was their turn. So things have gotten very, very bad. Very bad economically, very bad socially, and there is no mechanism for someone to have stepped in unless it was the Brazilian organizing committee themselves and saying, we're taking the games away from you. Mm-hmm. You know, they've debated this with the World Cup, but it causes problems. And, you know, with the World Cup, they gave the games to Qatar, and there was
yes,
it's going to be extremely hot in the desert, it turns out, and they still have not backtracked off of that. So international sporting sportocrats do not like to, A, admit they're wrong and do not, and, you know, like to pursue the narrative that everything will work out in the end. Is the press over in stating it? I think not. I think that there is always problems before every game. They do seem to get reported, and then things seem to work out. Except when you really examine it, sometimes things don't seem to work out. You know, the World Cup was in Brazil a couple years ago, and you could say, well, that worked out pretty well. Except if you really examine what happened, people died, roads collapsed. It didn't work out that well. So there's a lot of reason to think that some actual bad things can happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm worried about a lot of things, but this rail line that they've built, this 10-mile rail line, they're not even going to test it until about 4 days before the event. People need to use this rail line, right?
Yeah, going right up to the deadline, that's a tradition. If you remember the dorms at the Sochi Olympics, they didn't open until right beforehand. And guess what? There were problems. So I don't see how there aren't going to be problems. When London had the Olympics, there weren't problems on the tubes, but until the actual crowds showed up and they had to work out different systems, they had to, you know, they had to change some of their plans before the crowds showed up also. So how can Rio not do this if the rail line's not even going to be open until NFL 4 days beforehand. Yeah. That seems like a disaster ready to happen.
I was reading, I don't know if this was today or yesterday, the state's police officers have these big signs as you get to the airport, right outside the airport. Welcome to hell. Police and firefighters don't get paid. Whoever comes to Rio de Janeiro will not be safe. Welcome to Rio. Wow.
This is sort of, I guess, a labor protest, but it's grounded in truth, and there have been suspensions in pay for all civil servants, teachers too, and there are problems with payroll. And the accusation is they care only about their foreign visitors. They don't care about the actual workers here. Absent the Olympics, I don't know if that situation would be different, but it's certainly stark, and it's certainly scary because if you look at all the cities that have held Olympics, Rio has the highest crime beforehand, and to put international spectators into that situation has got to be scary, and more than scary, and more than perception. I would think that it's really putting people in a vulnerable position, and there can be some terrible stories coming out.
Mm. Do you know where all the athletes are staying? Are they outside of Rio in that area that you have to get to by train that is not completed yet?
Yeah, this is, you know, this is Rio's a big city, but this is why the rail link is really important, because it connects the athletes' village to a lot of the other hotels and a lot of the venues.
The other thing that's of great concern is this water. Brazilian scientists have detected a drug-resistant bacteria growing off of some of the beaches and the area where some of the sailing is going to take place and other boating events in the Olympics. Super bacteria entered the city's waterways with sewage coming from local hospitals getting channeled into the bay. Olympic sailors, some of them are there practicing, have said it's a nice sailing area, but every time you get some water in your face, it feels like there's some alien enemy entering your face. I keep my nose and lips closed.
Guanabara Bay, they've been talking about, depending on the shifts of the water, it could be fine or it could be really quite dangerous. And scientists have just reiterated there is stuff in that water that should just absolutely not be there. But there is no plan B, and the events, the sailing events, are going to take place.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Zika virus? How hard has Brazil been hit, Mike?
Well, it seems extremely serious, and this is a World Health Organization warning, and there was a debate within, you know, respectable circles. The Harvard publication, I think it was the Harvard Medical Review, featured an op-ed saying that, you know, you should not go to Rio because of the Zika virus. You know, people, they should cancel the Olympics, in fact, because of this Zika virus. And again, this isn't just anxiety-producing. Even if all these things wind up being more or less fine, the amount of anxiety has a cost as well. And so we are seeing some athletes, like team athletes or athletes who have means, like golfers and tennis players, who have means to pursue glory and riches in their sport, and they don't need the Olympics, right? So it's different for someone who rows crew than it is for someone who wins Grand Slam titles. Mm-hmm. Fine, we'll put that aside. And we've all seen some team athletes saying, you know, we're not going to go to Rio. They sometimes cite reasons other than the Zika virus, but you've got to think the Zika virus plays a role. And you've got to think that for all of, for instance, Steph Curry's concerns about how much he played during the season and wanting to heal, you've got to think that the Zika virus perhaps influenced him, if he wants to father more children, not to go to Rio.
Mm-hmm. Thousands of people, I've read, live in slums, and they've been ousted from their homes, relocated hours from schools and jobs. Do you know more about that? Where have all these people gone?
Well, this is, you know, before a major sporting event, there is often an opportunity to, you know, set up this, I shouldn't say an opportunity. There's often the inclination on behalf of governments to prettify the city by taking away the elements that, you know, make it unpretty, which is sometimes involved in human rights abuses. And when you have a totalitarian government, like you did certainly with Beijing and Sochi, it's one thing. You're supposed to have a democratically elected government in Rio, and in fact, you do, but they've also been cleansing the streets to try to make it as pretty as possible. But I would say that those sort of things, that there's a, you know, huge amount of problems that would be taking place in Brazil if the Olympics weren't there. So I do think there is an irony in that we seem to be caring about Brazil because Westerners and Americans will be descending there, And that's a legitimate concern, and the Olympics has to put forward the best event they can. But absent the Olympics, we'd probably be ignoring Brazil a little bit, and horrible things would be going on. I mean, look at Venezuela, right? No one is talking about, well, I shouldn't say no one. There was a report on Morning Edition. But for the most part, what's going on in Venezuela, which is actually much more dire than even Brazil, and is slipping into, you know, near starvation situations, this is not getting a tenth of the attention as Brazil, because there are no Olympics. So in some ways, the Olympics are shedding a light on this problem, and maybe that will help. I don't know. That's perhaps too optimistic.
So if they were selecting where the Olympics were going to be now, they selected Rio in 2009, would there be any doubt in your mind that Rio would not be selected for an Olympics in the years hence?
Oh, I don't think that Rio would even deign to put forward a bid.
Really?
Because I think that they looked at the situation when Lulu da Silva had the economy humming along and there were quarter after quarter of growth, and this would be a capstone to a great tenure as a president, and this would be the thing that officially put Rio, this plus the World Cup, put Rio and Brazil in the world's eye as a, you know, almost a member of the apex of countries of the world. That's just not the situation now. So I don't think that they would even think to submit a bid. And if they did submit a bid, I don't see how that could be evaluated and accepted by the Olympic Committee. In recent years, the Olympic Committee has at least given lip service, and there's some indication that it's actual, that they don't want their games to be these white elephants that wind up bankrupting cities.
Right.
Because we saw in bids to Winter Olympics, there were no takers. No one even wanted to host the Winter Olympics. So we have this situation where the only people who want to host the Olympics or the only countries are totalitarian governments who have to burnish their credentials on the world stage. And that's not where the Olympic Committee wants to be.
So what's to be done about that?
I think they have to massively reform, and I think they have to work to keep costs down, and I think that they have to not only, you know, spread the word in terms of press releases, but get economists in there to talk about how we could do these Olympics much, much cheaper.
Would it make sense to just return them to their place of origin, to Greece, and have it in Greece every year?
I think, you know, that to me seems to be retrenchment. And for 30 years, there was successful since the 76 Montreal Olympics all the way through London was a really successful Olympics. So we do have problems, but we've had successes, you know. And I think Los Angeles would say they were really happy with the effects of the Olympics. And I think absent the bombing, Atlanta was helped by the Olympics. I don't know that, you know, the accountants would say that the coffers were flush because of it, but they did get a lot of a boost out of the Olympics. Barcelona, tourism was certainly helped by the Olympics. So there are all these Olympic success stories. Because the costs have gotten out of control and because they've been allowed to be sort of commandeered by bad actors, bad political actors such as Vladimir Putin, I would think it would be a shame to retrench. And I also think, and I was in South Africa during the 2010 World Cup, and there is something to be said. When you have these international sporting events in third world countries, you're going to have more problems than you do if you have them in Germany. When the World Cup was in Germany, it ran super smoothly. And when the World Cup was in South Africa, there were some problems. There were some dirt roads you had to go down. So what do? Not have them? And then when we talk about Brazil and when we talk about South Africa, I mean, there are countries that are the 80th biggest economy, but these are two, you know, top 20 economies. So I think that if everything else is done right and if costs are controlled and if the local economies are moving in the right direction, that the international organization should actively seek out some different countries other than northern first world countries to host these games.
And when you say places that have hosted them have been helped, is that mean in terms of tourists who visit in subsequent years, and is that enough to recoup the losses that the country experiences from the huge outlay of expenditure to host the games?
Most great economists would say no, but then again, it's very hard to put a price tag on some of these things, like not tourism dollars. That's easy to put a price tag on. But there's a pride and there's a standing in the world's eye. And, you know, I think most Londoners are proud to have hosted the London Olympics, even if they are fully aware that it cost more than it made.
Mm-hmm. We're going to welcome phone calls. We're talking about the state that Rio is in less than a month before they are about to host the 2016 Summer Olympics, and the situation is really bad. Would it have made sense some time ago to say this is not a safe environment for those who are watching the game or for the athletes? There's so much corruption. There is a lot of crime. The waters where events are going to take place are filled with bacteria that is really bad for the body. They don't have the infrastructure. They've had to remove lots and lots of people who are poor people from the area to make room for these games. It's a bit of a mess, which I'm sure you know because you've heard about it or read about it. We're welcoming phone calls. What is the answer to this? Mike Pesca is our guest. He is the host of the Slate Daily podcast, The Gist, and contributes reports and commentary to NPR. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@WPR.org. Facebook, write your comments there. We'll read them. Is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. Scott in La Crosse is with us. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Kathleen. Mr. Pesca, I really admire your work. I really appreciate your viewpoints and the opinions. You actually already kind of stole my thunder there in suggesting that they should take them back to Athens permanently. But for the Winter Olympics, it seems to me that there's a real advantage in having just one venue, because your numbers, like in a sport like skiing, are really would always be pretty comparable. In other words, the type of slope and the pitch of the mountain and all the other things that now play a big difference in what your competition looks like would be evened out. And if it's really a difficult time to get somebody to host the Winter Olympics, wouldn't it make sense for everybody just to get together and decide we're always going to have Winter Olympics here in some place?
Well, I would say in certain sports like skiing and golf, playing the course or playing the environment is part of the not only the fun but the skill of the sport. So this is why world championships rotate. They want to have different mountains. They want to have different environments. Now, you want mountains that actually produce snow, and when they had it in Sochi, which was a very southern city as far as Russia goes, and they had to do man-made snow, that perhaps wasn't ideal, though it did work. The technology worked. The other thing talking about, I know you were talking about the Winter Olympics, but the idea of let's keep having them in Athens. Athens did pretty well when they hosted the Olympics. Have we not noticed? Athens and Greece have backslid tremendously also. It's not exactly to Brazil proportion. They started from a better part, but similarly, a society where they're having great trouble, and I wouldn't be so sure that you wouldn't have signs in the airport of Athenian policemen saying, welcome to hell. So I do appreciate your compliment, though.
Thanks, Scott, very much for the call. Well, couldn't you have some kind of arrangement where all the participating countries say, all right, we're going to give the Olympic Committee some money, and that money is going to be used for building all of the infrastructure for the housing for the athletes, for whatever needs to be done. And then you could have it in all these different places, and you wouldn't have to worry as much about how poor a country was.
Well, you could, except the International Olympic Committee and FIFA and the UN, for that matter, are nothing more than the collective will of their member organizations. So even though we in America and much of Europe is appalled, especially by FIFA, I think maybe more of the world is a little worried about these specific Olympics. You don't hear this level of conversation throughout, say, Africa. And Africa has 46 countries where those are more votes than Europe. Okay? So, you know, us talking about reforms, if the majority of the people voting for reforms or voting for a president or just voting for the direction of the organization do not share your concerns, reforms are never going to happen.
Let's go next to, thanks, Scott, for your call, Mike in Tacoma. Hi, Mike. Hey there, Mike.
This is Mike. I'm from Kokana.
Hi, Mike.
Not Tacoma.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I guess my comment is I'm just appalled at what I saw on the media the other night on television. They were showing the helicopter views of the harbor that will be used for the aquatic events. I think that's sailing, kayaking, triathlons, maybe. But raw sewage plume coming out into that harbor that was huge, and then showing floating garbage all along the coastlines in that area, how in the world do they expect athletes to participate in that? It's almost criminal. And I guess the other thing is, shame on the Olympic Committee for not following up. If this was awarded in 2009, that's 7 years ago. Why wasn't somebody continually rechecking to make sure that they were in compliance with all of these issues before now?
Yeah,
at least those portions of the event should be canceled. You can't expect human beings to swim and kayak and sail in that kind of environment.
Good thought. Mike?
Well, I don't think the triathlon, the swimming, is going to be in that specific Guanabara Bay. But I do think that there are concerns with every place that athletes' skin will be exposed to a polluted area.
So why didn't they do it before now? Why didn't they clean it up?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't think that they knew of the extent of the pollution. And no one, you know, when you're submitting a bid, the vetting process, they sometimes send people to visit on a guided tour, but they don't send people to test the samples. They don't send people to do forensics analysis. And maybe they should. The due diligence wasn't done. Maybe Rio shows us that the due diligence wasn't done.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, who would make the decision, this water is so unsafe for the athletes, we just can't compete?
There's the Federation of the sport itself, and then there is the Olympic Organizing Committee. And if both of them agree we're going to go forward, and usually they do work hand in glove, that's what they do. They're going to go forward. And if you don't have athletes saying we're not going to sail there, we're not going to compete there, and you don't have countries saying we're not going to let our athletes do that, then you have no institutions standing up to this potentially dangerous situation. There have been. ESPN did a really good job getting in touch with a couple of athletes who have said that, but it's usually the kind of person, you know, a three-time Olympian who's already won their medals. If you're 18, if this is your whole dream, you may either don't think you have the agency to stand up to this behemoth that is the Olympics or your federation, or you're so single-minded of focus that you just can't even worry about it, or you can't worry about it, or you think you can't worry about it until it's too late, and then you've got that weird alien taste in your mouth that you spoke of.
Thanks very much for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655. Dennis in Red Granite, hi.
Hi. I think in general, and for myself personally, the fervor for watching the Olympics is not as strong as it used to be because of the fact that you're watching professional athletes, not amateurs like it was 30 years ago. I think that plays a big part in it. But, yeah, this Olympics is just a nightmare.
Mike.
Well, I think that the TV ratings do not bear that out, although we should say all ratings have declined. But in terms of a share of how many people might be watching any other device, the Olympics are such a juggernaut, and they are so valuable a commodity that they affect the overall quarterly results of the multinational corporations that bid for them, right? So when NBC had the Olympics and they did better than average, you saw that the stock price went up. I mean, usually when a show, when Friends is a hit, it doesn't affect the stock price, like one show. But the Olympics are huge, and I think especially with basketball, if you're talking about professionals, the Dream Team is something that people very much want to watch, more so than they want to watch amateur or collegiate players. I think you have professionals in golf, and in tennis is the first time we're going to have golf. I think it would be odd to try to do it with amateurs. Tennis, you want to see the best players in the world play for their country, and the tennis players are excited about that. And in many other sports, I mean, what is a professional kayaker, you know? What is a professional? Yes, some of them do receive payment for endorsements, but I don't know. To me, that's just equity. When we talk about professional steeplechasers, these still are people who have to hold a job full-time while trying to pursue their Olympic ideal. So very few people are getting rich on their Olympic dreams.
What's the latest on the Russian track stars? Are they banned now because of doping? Or I know some of the athletes said they were clean. Mm-hmm. What's the story on that?
This is fascinating. So the entire federation, this wasn't at the Olympic level, but this is the athletics, which is what they call track and field outside of the United States. They just said Russians are banned. They had a systemic, nationally approved system of doping and trying to cover up the results. So if you are a Russian track and field athlete, you're banned. Here are the exceptions. If you can show that you are outside of Russia or outside of their program for an appreciable length of time, and if you can show that you passed tests that the WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, stands by, then you could get back in the Olympics. So, for instance, the whistleblower, the 800-meter specialist who let us all in that this massive system was going on, she's able to qualify because she's been, you know, not only competing outside of Russia, she fears for her life if she goes back into Russia. So there is a way for Russians or people of who would normally be competing for Russia to participate in the Olympics under no flag, under just running for themselves. And that's not perfect either. I mean, there have to be, even if it was systemic, there have to be some innocent Russian athletes who never took a drug, or there have to be many who never wanted to take a drug. And so there is an element of collective punishment. And also the ones outside the system, even though they benefited from, even though they could maybe prove that they've been drug-free for a certain while, when you take performance-enhancing drugs, it helps you. It could help you long-term. So even this innocent whistleblower who didn't want to participate in the program that she did, that's probably helping her a little bit. Now, before we get on our high horse, if Usain Bolt is hurt, the favorite to win the 100 meters and become the world's fastest man is an American named Justin Gatling. He failed two drug tests. Mm. He's allowed to compete because you're allowed to fail too, and that's where we are. So it wasn't systemic. It wasn't the United States government sort of having a fake lab to try to get around international standards, but that's going to be one of our heroes of these Olympics.
Mm. And then what happens with this? The World Anti-Doping Agency suspended the accreditation of this lab in Rio that was renovated, and it cost a lot of money to do so, to handle drug testing for the games. So
yeah.
Who's doing the drug testing?
Well, they'll have a new facility to do it, and the Russian lab was suspended. WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Agency, they're not extremely well-funded, and they have a lot of hurdles, no pun intended. But it does seem that they are trying their best to convince the world. And I think that, you know, speaking to WADA officials, this is an honest and earnest goal of theirs. It's not cynical. They want clean games, and they want clean athletic competition. They're doing everything they can to get there.
Let's go next to Steve in Minocqua. Hello, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering, levels of corruption in the games, to what extent are these countries paying significant bribes to get the games in the first place? And does that get in the way of the Federation saying that the games aren't clean enough or there's too much pollution and we shouldn't have this particular sport in this game?
Well, first of all, there are five giant contractors who build basically everything in Brazil, and they are the five contractors who built during these games, and they're all under investigation or indictment.
Oh my gosh. They all are? Oh wow.
Yeah. There is a massive amount of corruption. Now, it's been more exposed, I think, on the FIFA level, and the U.S. Attorney General has indicted FIFA officials, and it is quite clear that there was at least, not a legal term, shenanigans going on in Russia getting the World Cup, but there's been no move to take it away from them. And there's been tons of accusations about the Qataris throwing around a lot of money to bribe officials to vote Qatar to get the World Cup. But I think this comes down to there's a little bit of a sea change within FIFA to try to reform soccer, or at least to try to give the appearance that they are. But it really comes down to what the member organizations want. And if you have these tiny little countries who are being wined and dined and giving benefits, both approved and unapproved, legal and illegal, it's going to be hard to reform the process. And the same, to some extent, to a large extent, is true at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Steve, for your call. It really is hard to imagine what in the world were they thinking when they awarded the World Cup to Qatar. People can die in those kinds of hot conditions playing soccer, can't they?
And they awarded it to him in summer. They didn't
know,
even do
crazy.
It in winter. Yeah, so that has been changed. They're going to do a Winter World Cup. They saw the dangers of 114 Fahrenheit
right.
versus 99 Fahrenheit. And there were all these plans for the stadiums going to have cooling system. Like, no one thought, what about walking to the stadiums? What about if the cooling system doesn't work one day? Sure, you have a cooling system, but until you get the 100,000 people in there and testing that it works, people, like you say, could die.
Yeah. Our phone number, we have some lines open. We're talking about the Olympics, now less than a month away in Rio. And boy, have they got problems in Rio. And we're talking about some of those, which, of course, is prompting a discussion about why certain cities are awarded the Olympics. What is it about Brazil in 2009 that was different? And it sounds like there were a lot of things different than Brazil and Rio, particularly in 2016, where the, as our guest said, the Olympics would not have been awarded to them, considering what's the problems they're experiencing with their infrastructure, with corruption, with crime, with not having things built for the athletes, with pollution in the areas where the sailors are going to be, and they're getting horrible skin rashes from the horrible bacteria that's in those waters. It's a bit of a mess, to say the least. Plus, of course, and first and foremost, was public health concern about the Zika virus. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. We have some lines open for you right now for Mike Pesca, host of the Slate Daily podcast, The Gist. And he also does many reports for NPR, where he worked for a number of years, including national desk correspondent. He's won Edward R. Murrow Awards for his work. Lines are open for you right now. Talk at WPR.org is another way to go. Or we always love to read your comments on Facebook. And that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-486-8655 is our number. I want to talk a little bit more about safety, Mike. Evidently, not very long ago, a group of thugs got into the hospital in Rio and freed a drug kingpin, which doesn't make you feel real secure about your possible safety. Who will be responsible for the safety of all of the tourists and all of the athletes? And what if the police just aren't up to the task?
State, federal, Brazilian officials, they often frequently hire private security firms to augment. And in fact, in London, that was a problem. There were a huge amount of embarrassments. And in fact, the London security firm that was used happened to be the firm that hired the Orlando shooter. So it was a terrible year for that firm, or a terrible few years. Then the athletes and some Americans, but the athletes and individual countries often travel with their own security. And there, I've been reading about many packages that people going down there, not only do you get a hotel room and airport transfer, but private security guards. So this is kind of a growth industry, too.
Are you serious? You have to get a private security guard for the Olympics, of all things?
You don't have to, but with all the anxiety and with how much it costs and with the demographic of the people who are going, it's become popular.
Ugh. Lois is our next caller in Mount Horeb. Hi, Lois.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I was just talking to my daughter who, I don't want to say her name, but she has been in the Olympics in London and in Beijing.
Oh.
And she was running for Adidas and Nike. And whenever she would come home, she would have to tell the Olympic Committee where she was, because she was subject to drug testing every day of the year for years and years on end. And I just asked her recently, I said, what do you think about these Russians? And she said, I can remember running against them in Beijing. And she said, I just knew that they had been on some sort of drugs. And she said there's always athletes on drugs, but they don't have the testing sophisticated enough to catch them.
Hmm. So was she tested randomly during the time she was running? Every now and then they would ask for a test?
She would always be subject every
really?
Day of the year. And was she actually? You know, I don't really know, because she didn't live near me, and so I don't really know. But that was something that was very commonplace. You'd have to call in and say, okay, I'm home. This is where I'm at.
Yeah.
And so the United States You know, my daughter was really clean, and it really made me sad that it wasn't a level playing field for athletes who were clean
yes.
to compete against these dirty ones. And I just don't know if they'll ever be sophisticated enough to catch the different runners.
And Lois, did that lessen the experience for her, the whole Olympic experience, knowing that some might be cheating, were cheating?
You know what? No, she was just committed. She was just committed. She just worked hard all the time. And it never really lessened the experience. She was still, you know, honored to be on the team and all that stuff.
I'd imagine it's quite an honor, Mike.
Yeah, the athletes are the ones who most, I talk about WADA, but the athletes really want a clean Olympics. And they mostly, you know, the vast majority, at least in certain sports and certain countries, do not do drugs. And it's just so dispiriting when it's so clear that they're competing against drugged competitors. And we could go to events, we could pick out a couple of heats, I think women's middle distance events, that the gold medal, silver medal, bronze medalists, they were all in the London Games shown to have cheated. The maybe of the top six finalists, five failed a drug test. So yeah, they mail you your medal, you know, 2 years later. It's not quite the same as ascending the podium and winning fair and square right there.
Right. Thank you, Lois, so much for your call. Ken in Wisconsin Rapids.
Hi, I have three questions, if I can do that, please.
Well, all right, go ahead.
Okay, one is the favelas where the poor people live, and often they're just torn down and the people must move to a new place. Many places are not prepared or provided for them. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, this is... You know, they're told to move, but they're not given a place to move into. Homelessness is rampant in Rio.
Okay. Also, many venues, I understand, have already been canceled and are not being built that were promised.
Yeah, this is not infrequent, and I don't know the specifics of everything, but usually the plan, the glittering, glorious plan that is voted on for the Olympics meets reality. And things change, and costs are overrun, and sometimes existing facilities are repurposed to accommodate Olympic visitors. And that's usually good. That usually saves costs. But, yes, this has gone on with Rio as it does most Olympics.
Yeah, and what will be left over will be empty, much of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember with the London Olympics, the big outdoor stadium was going to be given to one of a couple clubs who play on the outer fringes of the top tier of English soccer. And it was just pointed out that, you know, these stadiums, which can seat 120, are now servicing a fan base for, say, the West Hampton Wolverines, where they attract 35,000 a game.
No.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the Wall Street Journal today, the mayor of Rio said that we must not compare them with other cities that have had the Olympics. Rio should not be compared. In fact, Rio should be compared with Rio, not with the others. It is a transformed city, he says, but don't compare us with the rest.
Hmm.
I thought that
yeah.
was interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that would be fair if all this horrible catastrophe-esque situation that we've been talking about weren't going on. This seems like him trying to lower expectations as a politician does before a debate. There is something to be said. I mean, the resources that Rio had to start off with are not the same as what London had or even what Beijing had or even what Athens had. And so I wouldn't mind, in general, grading on a curve, but I think maybe we should only bust out the curve once we say, hey, it was a pretty good job, now let's assess, as opposed to afterwards if we're saying, oh, my gosh, this went so wrong. How did this go so wrong?
Yeah, I agree with that, and I appreciate your comments. I just think it's a mess. Yeah.
Sounds like it. Thanks, Ken, so much for the call. The other thing that happens, though, is that we tend to judge because most of us are watching it on television. And if you're not following the day-to-day competition, you're watching certainly the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony. And these have become contests, don't you think, to who can do the most elaborate and the best fireworks and the best... They cost an incredible amount of money, and in a way, it judges your city by how well you perform those.
Yes, but, you know, that is part of the spectacle and the glory, and I used to be very, very skeptical of that until the London opening ceremonies, which I thought were this just glorious presentation that didn't, that seemed to be a story in a form,
yes,
I had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, cut to Sochi where it's, it was nice, but it's the general, sort of propagandizing for the glory of the nation. But I think that there are very few times when we all get together as a world and hear one country tell a story about itself in the vernacular that it chooses. And there is something special about that. Can they do it for less than $1 billion? You'd hope so.
I know. You would think so, wouldn't you? There's going to be a refugee team this year. Is that a first, Mike?
Well, this is, yes, so no, it's not a first. People can compete for a country if they don't have a country. And so if you're South Sudanese or if you're a country that's pre-Olympic recognized, you've always been able to do that. The Russians are technically in this situation. They're not refugees, but they're competitors without a flag. I mean, the Russian track athletes who we spoke of earlier could be.
Mm-hmm. Josh in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi. I was just wondering if, you know, all the doom and gloom about the Olympics this year, is there a worst-case scenario where it would be so bad that it would actually cause them to rethink the whole way that they run the Olympics? Or is there so much money in it that no matter if everything that people think can go wrong does go wrong, will they still continue to do the Olympics the way they always do?
No, I think that sometimes planning meets reality, and every last Olympics is a lesson for the next one. And so, yeah, it could. Sometimes I'm asked what's the best and worst case scenario. And I hate to think of the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is as bad as you could possibly imagine, right? But that is kind of true with the nature of any large event and worst case scenario. What's the likely case scenario? Let's judge the World Cup, which is, I don't know, we seem to have forgotten that people did die due to shoddy construction, which only happened because of the World Cup. So, and the stories beforehand with the Rio Olympics seem much worse. So it seems that bad things will happen. I don't know how much Americans will be exposed to those bad things. Most of our Olympics experience will be mediated through NBC, which won't exactly turn their back on run from every bad story, but that's not where they get their viewers. They get their viewers by making us fall in love with Simone Biles, the great gymnast. They get their viewers by showing us Michael Phelps win another gold. That's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
There, the sports arm is part news and part entertainment, but leaning much more towards entertainment.
Yeah, the backstories take so much of the time, and they're kind of interesting, you know, where they grew up and what their family life is like, and but there
and,
is
and
so
everyone,
much of that.
Yeah, every family member who triumphed over a disease. Is there one athlete who doesn't have
exactly
a family member who conquered a disease? But you know why that's done? The Olympics are the sporting event that's most watched by women, and the thinking for years and years went that women viewers aren't as connected to the X's and O's of competition as they are to the personality of the athletes. But I just think that's just called good storytelling. And they have the triumph over adversity angle isn't, it used to be 100% of the athletes they profiled. They've pulled back a little on that technique.
Yeah. Are you going to watch them avidly, Josh?
I'll probably tune in a little bit, but I don't have cable, so it'll just be whatever shows up on NBC.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks so much for the call. We talked earlier about the number of people who have been relocated who live in slums in Rio, and heavens knows where they are right now. I wonder about all this infrastructure, the rail line that's being built. Will that be of help? Are there jobs in the area? Are there people coming in from where the Olympics will be to the city or vice versa? Will that help? Will any of these structures be homes for people who don't have homes, Mike?
Yeah, no, there will be revenues, and it is a boost in terms of construction. It's just revenue versus cost. I mean, everyone always emphasizes how much extra construction and how much employment will be. But, yes, the costs are also pretty massive, too. And there usually are plans to turn dorms or to turn structures into something that will, you know, help the people for years to come.
Here's an email that's come in from Greg. It's an absolute shame that the Rio Olympic Games are allowed to continue. It's a clear case of the IOC looking after itself and its sponsors versus the health and well-being of Brazilian citizens and world athletes. It baffles me that out of the many international events Brazil has been in, had experience hosting, you would think they would properly know how to put on an event by now. He says that he is a firm believer the Games will embarrass both the city of Rio de Janeiro and Brazil as a whole, to the point that many international organizations won't want to invest any future assets in this region or nation.
I don't know. I think that, you know, that may seem true, and then the real starts rebounding, and for some reason there is a couple good quarters of economic growth, and, you know, you want to make your money where you can. So I don't think capitalist money will be so affected or put off by one bad sporting event. I think it's everything else. I think it's the other way around. I think all these terrible economic conditions are conspiring to make the sporting event less likely to be a success. Maybe then we'll go back and say, oh, it was the sporting event that scared us away, but it's everything else. It's the climate. It's Dilma Rousseff's impeachment. It's, you know, the fact that the Lulu da Silva economic miracle had feet of clay. It's all these factors.
Right. Yeah, it's very sad. So on to the good news. Are there events and athletes that you're very excited about watching?
Yeah, Simone Biles. I mean, I've been trying to calculate her vertical leap. She's 4'9" and gets so far off the mat. She is so women's gymnastics is the number one thing that people like to watch, and she's the number one gymnast in the world. And, you know, it's hard to compare to past gymnasts, except if you look at the greats, Nadia Comaneci, for instance, if you look at Olga Korbut, they're asked to do more now. What she does just blows away every generation of gymnasts. And gymnastics, this might surprise you, I'm more of a football, baseball, hockey kind of guy. Gymnastics is not something I usually pay attention to. But that's the other great thing about the Olympics. You know, you don't know that you like riflery, and then all of a sudden you're watching and riveted at the 10-meter air gun, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, that hasn't happened to me. But I will like to watch the swimming. And tell me, Michael Phelps is there for the what time?
What is this? Fourth Olympics. He's
fifth
got
Olympics.
Medals. At fifth. Oh
yeah.
My God. He's got more medals than anyone. And he, you know, I think that his story is an interesting one. He seems to need the Olympics more than the Olympics needs him. Without the Olympics and without swimming and a place to, you know, put his energies, he just seems lost. And he got arrested for drunk driving.
Right.
And he was, you know, photographed smoking marijuana from a bong. And he just seems like this lost soul when he's not in the pool. It's kind of interesting and compelling.
Yeah, and he had a baby. I somehow missed that story. I just got news of that this week, I guess.
How'd I miss that?
You missed it?
Yeah, was it a water birth?
Not sure about that. Will you go to these Olympics? Are you tempted to? If you had the chance, would you?
I was just telling my girlfriend that if I was full-time sports friend pure, I'd be asked to go, and it's scary, you know?
Ah.
I would be scared, not for the security, but for the Zika.
Yeah.
That would be, we've only touched on it, and before all these security concerns were really coming to light, everyone knew that it would be a problem. But we don't even know how bad it is. I mean, and it's coming back, and it could be in your system for months to come, and it can affect you. The problem is, of course, with the offspring. If you're thinking of procreating,
right.
How could that not be terrifying?
Yeah, exactly. But will there be mosquitoes? It won't be as hot there. It won't be summertime there, will it?
No, but still, there are definitely mosquitoes all throughout the year there.
There are. That would be scary. And I'm wondering how Brazil is addressing that.
Well, there are these massive programs, you know, independent of the Olympics, things about standing water and screens on doors, but when, you know, it's really hard in a country where people don't have a lot of money to tell them or even to ask them to put screens on their windows, you know? It's easier to combat in the United States, and we're going to be getting it in Houston and Puerto Rico. We have a number of cases.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those Olympics. I hope that everything goes all right, because you sure would hate to have all the things that could go wrong, considering the state the country is in, go wrong and then have to watch that instead of swimming and sailing and running and gymnastics and all that we watch the Olympics for. It's too bad that we have to have that in the back of our minds.
Yep.
Thank you.
But you got five rings and a nice anthem and some Americans with gold medals to balance it out. I don't know.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike, so much for being with us. I really enjoyed it.
You're welcome.
Mike Pesca, he is the host of the Slate Daily podcast titled The Gist, and he is doing many reports, commentary for NPR. He's won two Edward R. Murrow Awards for his radio reporting, and he was for a time at the National Desk. He was correspondent for NPR. Thanks very much to Scotty Myers for producing the hour, to KP Whaley for on-air production here in Milwaukee. If you would like to leave messages, your thoughts about the Olympics and whether or not you thought they should have been canceled, the state that Brazil is in, hosting in countries that are poor, how can we make it more affordable for them? Should we have a permanent site? We'd love to hear what you think about all of that. And you can go to our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and write down your thoughts, and we will read your thoughts, and very much like the fact that we're reading your thoughts. News is coming up from National Public Radio, and then we'll be talking about two very important issues affecting transgender people in this country. So stay with us.